Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CR-V? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental difference. We'll talk to Jeff Passan in 20 minutes. Who do you love at the end of the hour? From the NFL Matchup Show at ESPN and NFL Films, we like to talk to Greg Cosell Fridays at 3 o'clock for the Bears matchup because he's watched the Bears film and he's watched the film of their opponent, which in this case is the Miami Dolphins. How are you doing this week, Greg? Thanks for the time, as always.
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Outstanding. Are you kidding me? We got the first place Chicago Bears in this city warming up for an easy little recreational weekend in Miami, so it appears.
Bears fans very confident, Greg.
Three-game winning streak, you know, Trubisky coming off 6 touchdown passes. What could be better, you know?
Yeah, not much.
Unless you're Chili Davis, I guess then things could be worse.
Yeah, that's very topical. That is accurate. I understand the NFL margin of error is very thin. Bears are a 3.5-point favorite on the road. But in looking at the Dolphins, I don't see many places where they are dangerous offensively, especially against the Bears' defense. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. They're an odd team to evaluate on offense. And I was actually talking to a scout who's done a lot of work studying them. And I made the point that I watched them, and I'm not sure on a week-to-week basis exactly what they're trying to get done. And I think they've got good players. But I feel like you look at Kenyon Drake, who's a very explosive dimension, both as a runner and as a receiver. And I see that he's had 14 rushes the last 3 weeks. So, you know, I think they're trying to figure out what their balance is with Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore. I think that they're a shot play offense. They take their shots down the field. If they hit them, they look really good. Week one, he hit Kenny Stills for a long touchdown. He made a beautiful throw a couple of weeks ago for a touchdown to Stills again. But they strike me as a very hit or miss. I don't feel watching them that they're defined in what they're doing on a week-to-week basis.
Bears fans may be unfamiliar. You're not a fantasy guy. You might be too. Kenyon Drake, the third-year running back out of Bama, just 39 carries for 153 yards, an average of 3.92 per carry, one touchdown. Is he a guy you see, Greg, ultimately as capable of being a load back once they figure it out?
You mean a true foundation back, a guy you run your offense through, Danny, that carries 18, 20 times a week?
Yes, sir.
Not quite. I think he can be a number one back, which is different than a foundation back, if a team is more balanced in terms of pass than run. I don't think you can run your offense through him the way you think of a Zeke Elliott. But I think if you're an offense, like think of Devonta Freeman in Atlanta. He averages about 14 carries a game, and he's very good as a receiver. I do think Drake has that kind of talent. He caught a touchdown pass last week on a beautifully designed play coming out of the backfield, the offset alignment in the backfield. And he's bigger than people probably think. We saw that last year when they started to use him a little bit in that role toward the end of the year. But I think he could be used that way, but not as a true foundation back where everything starts with him in your offense.
Does Frank Gore still have gas left in the tank?
You know, he's still pretty good. I mean, look, I think we know what he is at this point, that he's not going to get the ball more than 10, 11. I guess he's getting it 12 times a game in one of these games. So that's why I said, I think the offensive coaching staff, which you guys know well, is still trying to figure out the balance between Gore and Drake. I mean, Gore still an efficient, sustaining type runner, while Drake clearly has an explosive dimension. But my sense watching the tape is it's week to week that they don't know yet exactly what they want to do with each guy.
What does Ryan Tannehill do best?
I think he's at his best when everything can be defined and he can throw with timing and rhythm. I don't think he's a very good, what I would call, late in the down pocket quarterback. I think the longer he's in the pocket, the more he struggles. So I think it has to be defined for him early. and the ball has to come out. He's had moments this year where he's been very, very accurate. He's looked very, very good. And then he has other moments where it has not been the case, and he struggles. So I think it has to be defined for him. And maybe that's why they're struggling a bit, because I know Adam Gase tries to do those kinds of things, but when you're dependent on your play call beating the defense, sometimes the defense wins.
Has he improved much since he's been in the NFL?
Tannehill?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's relatively the same guy. I mean, in terms of skill set, in terms of what he brings to the table, I would imagine all quarterbacks improve just from repetition and experience. But I think in the way he'd be discussed, the level of quarterback, what his traits are, I think he's pretty much the same.
Yeah, we're talking to Greg Cosell, NFL matchup show at ESPN, 38 years at NFL Films. Laremy Tunsil is back, obviously high-profile tackle for them from the concussion protocol, so it looks like he's going to play. But they've had injuries across the offensive line, and obviously the Bears pass rush second in the NFL with 18 sacks in just four games. Do they have any shot at slowing down the Bears pass rush with that offensive line?
I think it'll be difficult. I think that, again, now it comes down to how they choose to play. You can slow down pass rush by how you play. If you can sustain offense and be in normal down and distance situations and then have your pass game be built on three-step, five-step drops where the ball comes out, you can slow down the pass rush. If you get stuck and you're in second and long and third and long, which demands different kinds of drops and different kinds of route concepts, then I think you get stuck. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that this is an offensive line that the Bears group can definitely exploit if the situation presents itself.
You are 100% confirming a lot of things that I've been suspicious of, which is why I'm kidding myself if I think I won't wind up betting the Bears.
I got one quick point, before we leave the Bears offense. I think a player to watch in this game, and I'm sure fantasy people will like this as well, is Tariq Cohen, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the Dolphins have really struggled with their nickel linebackers in coverage. And they're a nickel defense exclusively, so there's no dime, no sixth defensive back on the field. They play nickel. They started the season with Kiko Alonso and Raekwon McMillan playing nickel. Now, they still play McMillan at times if they're a nickel on first and 10, for instance. But they've now moved Jerome Baker, another Ohio State linebacker, into play the nickel with Alonso. And Baker's a great athlete. You guys probably are familiar with Ohio State, obviously, being where you are. He's a very good athlete. He's still a work in progress. Alonso is a liability in coverage. And I think Tariq Cohen, we saw him a few weeks ago run routes outside against the Bucs defense. It would not surprise me to see him run routes inside against this group to take advantage of that mismatch.
Okay, and block Cameron Wake, and you should prosper, right?
Well, Wake, is he due to play? He did. He was inactive last week.
Yeah, questionable is the last I saw for him.
Yeah, so he was inactive. They've not gotten what they expected from Charles Harris, who's now a second-year player. He was the rookie from Missouri a year ago, and I think they expected him to really provide much more of an edge rush. He's not really been able to do that yet.
Excuse me, Cameron Wake now doubtful.
Well, there you go.
He's still at one on their depth chart. Time to update Dolphins depth chart.
I'm doubtful for this weekend as well.
Yeah, you've lost
play.
A step. In terms of their secondary, Greg, they lead the NFL in interception with 10. Xavien Howard leads the league, tied with a bunch of guys, including the rookie Denzel Ward, with 3 picks. Are they good? Has it just been opportunistic? What do we need to watch for in terms of them taking the ball away?
The question is whether Howard travels. Because now that they've had some injuries there and they're playing McTyre at the other corner, Howard has traveled a little bit. So the question is, does he travel with Allen Robinson? Or are they going to play sides? And I think that's the first question. We don't know the answer to that. My sense is he will travel at times. Now, when I say travel, he probably won't go in the slot, and we've seen Robinson in the slot, obviously, as well. But I think if Robinson, when he's number one on the outside, my guess is Howard will line up over him. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick is already a terrific player as their slot corner. Great awareness, great sense of spatial awareness, can play the run, can blitz, just a really good player.
Greg Cosell from the NFL Matchup Show with us here. From last night's game, Greg, does Eli Manning have anything left, or is he done?
Well, I think it's a bad mix right now. I mean, you know, it's easy to rip Eli. I think that he's regressed in terms of his pocket play. When there are bodies around him, he's not very good. The area I think he's really struggling in is accuracy. He's just not a very accurate thrower right now. And I remember having a conversation years ago when I was really first starting to focus on the quarterback position and study with a lot of people. I remember Troy Aikman telling me that you could do everything right at the quarterback position, but if you can't throw it where you want to, you have nothing. And right now, Eli Manning, his accuracy is really scattershot. He just can't throw it that consistently where he wants to.
How did, and I don't criticize him for drafting Barkley. God, is he good. Hopefully he stays healthy for a long, long time. But how did supposedly smart people not see this coming with Eli Manning?
That's a hard question. The only way I would respond to that is this, and it's not about Eli. It's about the evaluation that the Giants crew made of the other quarterbacks. See, we just assume what's happened now, Danny, is with quarterbacks is we just assume because the position is of utmost importance that you just should just draft a quarterback. And you still have to evaluate the player. We don't know how the Giants evaluated the quarterbacks. You know, so it's a hard question. You know, there are many, many people who thought Barkley was hands down the best player in the draft. Mm-hmm. So the question is not whether Barkley's a great prospect. The question is, are you just drafting a position or are you drafting the player you think's the best player? And I'm not saying I have the answer. Hey, I don't get paid enough to have that answer for teams. But ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Are we now in a situation where you're just going to draft the position?
Greg, I mean, I know you look at draft prospects now as part of your job. Last night during that broadcast, you know, there's Barry Sanders comp, there's Earl
right.
Campbell comp.
Those are pretty good backs, by the way.
Yeah they're not
probably
bad.
I'm old enough to, I saw all those guys play. I'm old enough to know that.
Well, so what's your comp for Saquon Barkley?
I thought he was Sanders-ish when I watched him at Penn State. And, you know, it's funny. He was phenomenal last night. He's a super, super talent. We know that. But it's funny, the week before against Carolina, and you think about Barry Sanders, you know, having explosive great runs and then having a lot of one-yard runs and -3-yard runs. Well, the week before against Carolina, Barkley had a 20-yard run and a 30-yard run. His other 13 runs gained -2 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Which is not a knock on his talent, you know, but I think that's he's an explosive, dynamic, spectacular runner.
And they have an awful offensive line.
To be kind, we'll call it a work in progress.
Okay.
Would Barry Sanders be on your Mount Rushmore of NFL films subjects? I would love to hear your Mount Rushmore of subjects to cover.
That's a different question, you know, because I'm not a good list guy, Danny. You know, people always like to make lists, even when it comes to the draft. Who's your number one this? Who's your number one that? And because I watch so much tape and I think in terms of schemes and what teams do, I always think of how players fit, you know, and what their adaptability is. Because there's not 20 transcendent players in any draft. You know, if there's one, you're lucky.
Barry Sanders' highlight film, though, was pretty cool, Greg. You got to be honest.
Yeah. Just ask John Lynch about it. He'll remember.
So do a lot of Bears fans.
Yeah. Greg,
yep.
Thank you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Greg.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.